And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr., and you're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live. Well, here we are in the second week of July. The summer is just kind of flying by, and man, we are busy in ministry as well as others, I'm sure. Everybody's involved. You've got camps going on this summer. In fact, I'll be at a camp coming up here in western New York, Camp Odeseji. We'd love for you to come visit us and be with us there if you're up in that area. Go to my website, extremeprophecy.com. You can look at our my schedule there, and there'll be a link there to that camp that you'll be able to visit, or go to our website, prophecytoday.com, and click on the schedule portions. You'll see there'll be a link to the camps and the different places that will be. Of course, Dad is now traveling on his way up to Rochester, New York, and where he'll be this weekend, and then this following week he'll be at the Great Sacandaga Bible Conference in that area, and he'll be there teaching us next week. He's doing a brand new series that we just finished producing the video for. He'll be doing the brand new series, Rome Rising. So look forward to him doing that, being there. That'll be out on audio as an audio series pretty soon. But hey, the DVD is out right now. I shot it. Ephesus, Rome, and Jerusalem were the locations where we shot it. It'll help you understand the significance that Rome plays in Bible prophecy, one of the five most important cities in Bible prophecy. Of course, Jerusalem being, I feel, the most important, and of course, Dad feels that way. But you have Rome, you have Babylon, Damascus, and then, of course, the new Jerusalem. But Rome is a very important city. It will be the place that the Antichrist has his headquarters for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, and also where he will set up the false church that will be headquartered in Rome. That's Revelation chapter 17. So take a look at that DVD, or wait for the audio series to come out and have that. You could go to our website, prophecytoday.com, click on the link to the bookstore. We have so many different DVDs, CD, audio series, books that are there to help you in your studies of Bible prophecy. There's so much that our website has to offer, and we thank you for going there and taking a look at it. The daily devotions, the PTV, our weekly video that we put up there, our prophecy television, our PTRN, of course, our radio network. If you miss the weekend program when it airs live, you can always pick that up through our PTRN, or just listen to the individual analysis of what's taking place around the world by our expert commentators and men that we fully trust on what's going on over there. You trust us, we trust these men, so therefore you can trust what these men have to say. And of course, Dad's prophetic look at what's and how all of this is happening around the world as we examine current events in the light of God's Word. And that is so very important. Before we get to our questions, let me just remind you of one more ministry opportunity this summer that you could be a part with us. We are, and if you've listened to us in the past, you know that my brother and I, and of course my sister Jody, went with us last year, but we've been involved with a sports ministry in the country of Montenegro. Montenegro, a part of the former Yugoslavian countries. You know some of those other ones. A lot of people always ask me, where is Montenegro? Montenegro, a country of 880,000 people, 77,000 people around that figure in the city where we go. There are probably less than, and I'm speaking very conservatively, there are less than 30 people that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior that are active in a church there in that area. Now, we have been going for the last 6 years and doing this sports camp. Rick, my brother, runs it. I am the speaker, and I speak there. And my sister Jody, we have a team of other people that are coming that we use sports to share the gospel message, to draw the kids in. And and then we're very much apart. We are doing that, and we've been doing that every year. We've seen people come to know the Lord. We know that there are young people that have come to know the Lord. We have a few missionaries that we have put in place that are working, local missionaries, nationals, Montenegrins, Serbians that are there. And you know some of the other countries around that area, Croatia, Bosnia, Serbia. They've all been in the news over the years. And these are young people. This is a landlocked area in the mountains of Montenegro. We go there and use sports to evangelize, teach these young people. And you have an opportunity. Go to our website. You can take a look at that. Either go to mine, again, either my website, extremeprophecy.com, X-T-R-E-M-E, prophecy.com. Go to our Prophecy Today website. But if you'd like to be praying for us as the team goes, that would be great. If you'd even like to help, there's a donate button on both of our sites, or you could call our offices and speak to Jody. Jody will be going this year. If you want to help those folks in prayer or financially, that would be great, because I know that they could use it. And this is the ministry that we feel as part of educating the body of Christ, teaching Bible prophecy and how to do open-air evangelism. We are actually going to do basketball and soccer camps and English camps in the city of Nikšić, Montenegro, which is part of the old Yugoslavia. And so that's where we're headed. We'll join up with some groups from Philadelphia, also from Birmingham, Alabama. And we're working with Eric Murphy and Jimmy Compton in that area of the world, and they have started these camps several years ago. It's a country that has very few Christians in it, totally open to the gospel and evangelism, and we're using sports and education, the teaching of English, as the kind of the way to get into the hearts of these people and then share the gospel message with them each night, open-air evangelism, all kinds of things that we'll prepare the young people for as we go on this trip.
Jim, I am so glad that it's you and Rick, our two sons, going, and because you guys know how to play basketball and soccer. You are an All-American, of course, and Rick is a big, tall guy. I can almost reach up and hold on to the basket standing there. So this makes it very good for you guys to go into the country of Montenegro to be able to teach these things. And I'm sure glad you're not taking me along to teach English. The only foreign language I had difficulty with in college was English. But you guys get it together and do a great job. We'll be praying for you while you're there.
Thank you. And we covet the prayers of all that listen to our program. If you want to help and you want to be a part of praying, being a part of the evangelization that we are a part of, please go to one of our sites and just let us know that you'll be praying. You can send it in the Prophecy Q&A. I'll definitely pass that on, and thank all of you in advance for what you're going to do as you're helping out our ministry. Maria Pappas sends in a question, or a comment, actually. I just want to say thank you, and may God continue to bless your ministry. God bless you all and your families. And Maria, we thank you so much for sending that comment in to us. Well, Dad, we've got quite a few questions this week, and we probably should get right to them. Ronnie sends in a question. He says, I know and believe God created the heaven, earth, and everything in it. Why did God make his word so hard for the normal person to read and understand without it having to be explained or taught, which has caused so many different interpretations? Also, if God is the ruler of everything, why doesn't he choose to come back and rule the earth from the day of his return just because he can, instead of the way Revelation says he is going to do it through the tribulation and the millennial reign?
Well, Renny, let me just first of all say, God's word is written for every man, the normal man. Hey, buddy, I am one of those normal persons that you're talking about. I'm a pretty simple, and I read the word of God. I have to study. I'm not a guy that gets everything easy. I spend much time in study of the word of God. But I can read it, and Jim, my son, who's on the broadcast with me right now, hosting this Q&A time, we both are just normal guys, and we read the Word of God, and we come to an understanding. Now, it says in the Word, study to show thyself approved. Well, that's exactly what we need to do. Spend some time studying the Word. I understand that when you listen to different interpretations, that may take you down a rabbit trail, and thus the reason for so many denominations out there and different ideas about what's happening. But God's Word is plain and simple. It'll help you to understand if you simply look at it, read it, and come to the understanding that it has there for you. What God wrote is what we need to know. That's what He wants us to know, and He will give us that information. Listen, the Holy Spirit, who wrote the Word through these 40 men over 1,500 years, is the same Holy Spirit, Ronnie, that lives within you if you know Christ as Savior. He lives in me, and He will make known what His Word is talking about. By the way, when you're talking about the tribulation period and why does the book of Revelation have to unfold the way it does before He sets up His reign, there are three basic reasons for the tribulation period, Ronnie. Number one, it's to bring an end to the Gentile world powers. That's what Daniel chapter 2 is talking about when it says that stone hits those 10 toes and that image of the man and destroys it. What actually happens at that point in time is that really you're seeing the destruction of the Gentile world powers. That's a part of the tribulation period. Secondly, it's a time for evangelization of the Jew. Many Jews will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior during that time. The Bible talks about the time of Jacob's trouble, which in fact, if you look at the book Ezekiel, by the way, that was Jeremiah 30, verse 7. But Ezekiel talks about many times, I think over 98 times it says, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So all of these judgments during the tribulation period are turning the Jews to Jesus Christ. A third reason for that tribulation period is that it has to bring to an end to the satanic trinity, Satan, Antichrist, and the false prophet. Remember, at the end of the tribulation period, Antichrist and the false prophet thrown into the lake of fire, Satan, chapter 20, verses 1, 2, and 3, he's cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, released for a season, and then he is thrown into the lake of fire where the Antichrist and the false prophet are located. So those are three main reasons for the tribulation period. Remember, at the end of that time, the Lord, God the Father, gives Jesus the Son this kingdom, this dominion that will be forever. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And that book that is in the hand of the Father, Revelation chapter 5, the title deed to the earth, it's a sealed book, but it contains all 21 of the judgments in that seven-year period of time. This title deed to the earth is so that the Lord Jesus Christ can bring the earth under submission and earth dwellers under submission. Then he will be given this kingdom, the thousand-year kingdom. Just read the Word, Ronnie, and just let it speak to you. Get alone. Get your mind off of other things. Allow the Word of God to speak to you. By the way, thanks for the question. And remember, it is a bit of study. It's not just falling off the log type of operation.
Renee sends in a question. She says, I try to read Prophecy Today every day. Recently, I heard they found a big pocket of natural gas off the coast of Israel and shale oil, which I believe will start the conflict along with the UN giving Palestine their own state in August, and Israel refuses to leave. What do you think?
Well, indeed, anything that Israel may get as far as helping them to prosper in that part of the world, the Islamic world does not want to see happen. You see, there's a law in Islam. It's called the House of Islam. And any time a piece of real estate has been under the control of Islamic leaders for any period of time, although they didn't establish a state, but they did when Saladin came in, he was there and he brought all of Israel under his control. That was the time of the Crusaders, of course. But it was in the House of Islam. Well, if indeed somebody else other than an Islamic nation prospers there, i.e. the Jewish nation prospering today in that part of the world, it's in the face of Allah, so they're going to be upset about it. So whether it's natural gas or shale oil or whatever the nation of Israel may be able to prosper with, that's going to bring them some concern. But you're right, I believe, Renee. And when the United Nations declares, and it's going to be September instead of August, I think, but whenever it is, whenever they declare unilaterally a Palestinian state, the Israeli government's going to reject it, and the Palestinian people will go to the street, and there's going to be a conflict. I see that ahead. That is going to be the case. There is a suggestion now by some of the Palestinian leadership that they put off this declaration at the United Nations of a unilateral Palestinian state until next year. We'll have to see how that floats. But anyway, that's the situation now. Thank you for your question, Renee.
Hey, Dad, we're talking about a Palestinian state. Was there ever a Palestinian state?
No, there wasn't, Jimmy. That's a very good point. There has never been a Palestinian state. From about 1500 to 1917, the Ottoman Turkish Empire controlled that part of the world, the Middle East, and in particular what we know as Israel today. Then in 1917, the Brits defeated the Ottoman Empire, and the British Empire took over until the United Nations in 1947, November the 29th, gave permission for the Jews to have a state. And then, of course, in May the 15th of 1948, Ben-Gurion announced a Jewish state in the Middle East. So there has never been a Palestinian state. The deputy foreign minister, Danny Ayalon, has just put out a YouTube video. It's on our website. And the title of it is The Israelis Decide to Tell the Truth About the West Bank. But in that video, it's only 6 minutes long. Go to our website, prophecytoday.com. It'll be very interesting for you to watch. But in there, Danny Ayalon, who is the foreign minister, he used to be the ambassador from Israel to the United States in Washington, he makes the statement that there was never a Palestinian state, so what are they talking about? And in fact, there was no Palestinian state in what they call the West Bank. That was the West Bank of Jordan, so that should have belonged to Jordan, not a Palestinian state. You know, words have meanings, and I think it's important we understand that. But watch that video. It's on our website, prophecytoday.com.
Shirley sends in a question. She says she's asked this question before, and I think we might have answered it, but I think it maybe she didn't hear it, and I would encourage everyone, if you're listening to our program, go back, listen to our archive programs of Prophecy Q&A Live. But she asked the question, my granddaughter died at the age of 6, and as far as I know, had not heard the gospel. She was not brought up in a Christian household. Do you believe that she has gone to heaven?
I've got to tell you, Shirley, I am not absolutely positive that I can give you a verse of Scripture that guarantees that. Now, having said that, let me tell you what King David said. Remember, King David had a young son that would die, and he says in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23 that his grandson went to heaven. He said, he cannot come back to me, but I can go to him. That seems to indicate, Shirley, that those children who die under the age of accountability, who have no idea how to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, or anybody, someone that may be mentally deprived and not be able to come to an understanding, at their death they would go into the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm just supposing that, Shirley, and I'm not trying to discourage you. I want to encourage you by the fact that the Lord has a wonderful love for the little children. Read Matthew chapter 18 sometime. You know, all the little children have guardian angels. And the Lord said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Jesus Christ loves the little children. He's not going to let any harm come to them. And if they are not at the age of accountability, are able to understand their sinners needing a Savior, Jesus Christ would be that one, of course. If they don't understand that, I believe he takes them into the heavenlies. But I can't give you an absolute verse, just inference from what 2 Samuel 12, 23 has to say. I'm sure the Lord will take care of that precious little granddaughter of yours.
Paula DeShane sends in a question. She said, I have a question for Dr. DeYoung. He is always saying that Israel will be divided again into Judea and Israel and then reunited at the end. I was just thinking that the division of Israel and Judea could occur by Israel giving the Palestinians Judea or the West Bank. Could this be the division that takes place?
No, Paula, that is incorrect, because what does the text have to say about this? The text says Israel and Judah. That is two locations that it's talking about. It tells there in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 15 to 23, Ezekiel the prophet to take two sticks. On one stick, put Israel. On the other stick, put Judah. And it's for the Jewish people. So it's talking about two states, two Jewish states. Remember I said words do have meanings. Don't allow current events to dictate what you may think the word is saying. By the way, just check out Ezekiel chapter 35. Ezekiel 35 is a prophecy against the Edomites, or the Palestinian people of today. And in verse 10 it says that the Lord will do away with the Palestinians as if they had never been at the end of time. And when Jesus Christ comes back, he will do away with them because they take two states. That's two Jewish states that's talked about in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 15 to 23. And so we're talking about what the Word has to say, not what we may think be the case. Thank you, Paula.
Dan Lycan sends in a question. When does a scenario in Psalm 83 occur where Israel deals with the Edomites, its closest neighbors?
Yeah, you know, that's a very interesting thought, Dan. The Edomites, or the Palestinians, as I just said a moment ago, are the closest neighbors to the Jewish people in the state of Israel. When you look at Psalm 83, you have to go along with Ezekiel 38 and Daniel 11 as parallel passages that give us a list of nations that are going to come against the state of Israel. But I understand as we look at the passage there, Psalm 83 and verse 6, it's talking about Edom and the tabernacle of Edom, and that is the Palestinian people today. They are going to be judged, not at the beginning, and that's when Psalm 83, Daniel 11, and Ezekiel 38 are fulfilled in the first 6 months of the tribulation period. But these Edomites, the Palestinians of today, will be dealt with when Jesus Christ comes back. That's the little book of Obadiah, and it's verse 18. Israel will be the fire or the flame, and the Palestinians, the Edomites, will be the stubble or the wood that will be burned up. So Psalm 83, and right there where it talks about Edom, verse 6, that happens at the end of the tribulation period.
Chris from Maryland sends in a question. He says, since we know Jesus is true and faithful, I was studying the Jewish wedding. I know now that the wedding system that that the Jews use is in fact the way Jesus' relationship with his church is today. Even so, since we are in the separation period, hence the I go to prepare a place for you in Scripture, I found out that the bridegroom always went for his bride at night. My thinking is Jesus will rapture us at night, as he said, I'll come as a thief in the night. Am I wrong?
Well, let me just think through that with you a moment, Chris. I don't want to say you're absolutely wrong, but you're right. You're correct in the fact that there's an interesting parallel between the Jewish wedding and how Jesus has a relationship with his church. The Jewish wedding has three parts: the engagement period, and then there's the ceremony, and finally the celebration of that Jewish wedding. What happens when you look at Christianity in light of that and what's going to take place at the end, remember, we as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, will be married to Jesus Christ. And that happens after the rapture of the church. But let me remind you, Chris, immediately after the rapture of the church, you have the judgment seat of Christ. In fact, that's how we determine what our wedding gown will be. Revelation chapter 19, verse 8 says, the wedding gown for the bride of Christ will be the clean linen, or our righteous acts, our righteous deeds. And that's determined there at the judgment seat of Christ. So the rapture happens, then we go to the judgment seat of Christ, and once we have our wedding gown, we will be married to Jesus Christ. Now let me just think with you about that Jewish wedding. I know, and Jimmy and I can testify, in fact, Jim has been on a television crew that has actually done videography of these young couples preparing that day and getting ready to go to the ceremony, but they take many pictures all around the countryside. They go to the Western Wall, they go to the Southern Steps, they go to important locations, important to the Jewish people, and they take their wedding pictures. Now, that means they're together, and so that groom has come to get his bride already. Then they go to the ceremony. And by the way, a thief in the night, that's for lost people. We're not expecting a thief in the night. We're expecting the bridegroom. Whether the rapture takes place at night is not correct, because the rapture could happen at any moment. I mean, right now, it's 7 o'clock East Coast time, or in that hour, we're ready for the rapture. Jimmy and I could be disappearing from this radio broadcast any moment. Or it could have happened earlier this morning. The rapture can happen at any moment. So don't stretch that parallel. Just allow it to work smoothly, Chris.
Robbie Griffin sends in a statement, actually, and maybe, Dad, you can expound upon this. He says, just listen to an end-time prophecy teacher who said the United States is in the Bible in Daniel 7, verse 4. I looked at the text and do not agree with him. That is where all the Chaldean Empire is mentioned, not the United States. Why would anyone teach the Antichrist in the seven-year period without mentioning when and if the church will be caught away? We are living in such a dangerous time with so much deception in the church. People not knowing the original Greek and Hebrew text is really going to be a problem. We tend to believe whatever we hear.
Well, Robbie, let me say, let's don't believe everything we hear or read. We need to study for ourselves what the Word of God has to say. Now, I do not believe that you have to have the original Greek or the original Hebrew and a capability to be proficient in those languages to read from the either Greek text or Hebrew text. Spyros Zodiates was a great Greek scholar. He has an excellent book, a tool that can be used for you to really understand what the Greek is talking about. They have additional books in Hebrew that way as well. So I'm not saying you have to have the original Greek or Hebrew language under your belt to be able to understand what the passages are. But indeed, we need to read the Word of God. When you're looking at Daniel 7:4, for example, it's talked about being lion. Well, that's the emblem. It's been so for, I guess, 2,500 years at least. The winged lion is the emblem for the Babylonian Empire. And when you look, that was a vision that the young prophet, well, not so young, maybe 70 years of age at that time, Daniel was having, as he had interpreted the dream when he was a real young boy, 15 years of age, back there for Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2 of the book of Daniel. And so he gets this vision, and it's a similar vision. It's the Gentile world powers. The next verse, verse 5, is talking about a bear with three ribs in his mouth. That represents the Medo-Persian Empire. Then the Grecian Empire is represented by a leopard with four heads and four tails. The next one is an awesome beast with iron teeth. That's the Roman Empire. So in the context, that's not talking about the United States. Simply read and understand the context.
Calvin sends in a question. He says, where do you substantiate the concept that the Jewish nation is still God's chosen people? It is my understanding from the Bible that when they rejected Jesus, that was the end of their being God's special people. So I don't understand why you think there is still to be a kingdom set up by Jesus with the Jewish people being the center of its fulfillment.
You know, Calvin, the tenor of your question concerns me because it seems like you're saying, and I'm not attacking you, dear brother, I'm just saying it seems like you're saying that God has done away with the Jewish people. Now, that would be an impossibility, and let me tell you four reasons why. Number one, the Abrahamic covenant, Genesis chapter 15. In that covenant, God promises the Jewish people they will be a nation forever. That's an unconditional promise. He cannot break it. The second reason is the land covenant, Deuteronomy 30, where he promises to give them a piece of real estate. Can't be a nation without a piece of real estate. And he promises to give them, if you study all the passages in Scripture dealing with the biblical borders of the Jewish state, it's 10 times what they have today. That's the land covenant, Deuteronomy chapter 30. The third reason is the Davidic covenant, 2 Samuel chapter 7. Where God promises King David, and by the way, Jeremiah the prophet says, you have to do away with the night and day in order to be able to break the promise he made to King David. And that means there's going to be a temple on the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem, and one of the people of David's legacy, his family, will come back, and that would, of course, would be Jesus Christ. He would come back to Jerusalem, build that temple, go into it, sit there, rule and reign forever. And the fourth reason has to be the new covenant, Jeremiah 31:31, where the Lord says, you will be my people and I will be your God. That's the future, all of it, every bit of it, Calvin. And you need to be aware of the fact that that's what God's Word says. By the way, in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God," listen, "hath chosen thee." Here in Deuteronomy, the Lord is talking through Moses to the Jewish people. He said, "God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest in all the number of the people, but because the Lord loved you." Indeed, the Lord has chosen the Jewish people. Those four covenants are absolutes. If he can break any of those promises, and then we don't want to have anything to do with him, because he could break his promise to us of eternal life. No, the Jews have not been replaced by the church. God has a plan for the church, but he also has a plan for the Jewish people, and that is a kingdom to come, where indeed the Jewish people will receive that kingdom, and Jesus Christ at that time will be their king.
Thank you, Calvin, for that question, and I suggest that you listen to Dr. Rennie Showers on our website. You can go back and listen to last weekend's program, an interview that Dad did with Dr. Rennie Showers speaking about replacement theology.
By the way, Jim, on our website, on the home page, we have that right there, right now. Let me just, while we're sitting here for a moment, look up front the whole page. It's called A Special Report, right there on our home page. Replacement Theology, A Very Dangerous Doctrine. I interviewed Rennie Showers, Dr. Rennie Showers. It's a very important interview you need to listen to, so just go to our homepage, double-click on it. I'll bring up a little way for you to listen to the entire interview. Good suggestion, Jim.
Well, our last question this week comes from Robert Rice. Again, this is one of my favorite questions. Here's a gentleman who is a former pastor teaching out in Everett, Washington. He's teaching the book of Revelation. He's actually in chapter 11. He said this, and it's a great question. He says, "I'm an old 76.7, so we know that Robert is exact. He says, 76.7-year-old student of the Word with two earned degrees. Not to impress you, because I can't do that, but I greatly appreciate your knowledge and wisdom of prophecy. Compared to you, I am minor league." Well, Robert, don't underestimate yourself.
He says,
"I would love for you, if possible, to answer a question in Revelation chapter 11, verse 19, a reference to a temple of God is in heaven. And in Revelation 21, 22, John says, 'I saw no temple therein.'" So he says, "I greatly admire your knowledge and wisdom regarding Bible prophecy and the book of Revelation." And he's asking for your analysis on this scripture.
Hey, Bob, let me just tell you, thank you for keeping on and keeping on, buddy. You're encouraging to me. I'm only 71. You got me by five and more years. But I'm thrilled to hear that you're teaching the Word of God, and I hope I'm plugging away just like you are 5 years from now. Interesting question there in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 19. Let me read that verse for you. "And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in this temple was the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of Testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunders and an earthquake and great hail." Well, that temple that is located in the heavens, Bob, is there because of what Hebrews tells us. In the book of Hebrews chapter 9, it says, "That which is a replica on the earth, its original is in heaven." I read Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 to 5 along that line as well. And so this is a temple, the original temple in the heavenlies, and the ones that were built here on the earth are simply replicas of that heavenly temple. Now, when you go over to chapter 21, verse 22, we're not talking about heaven at that point in time. Heaven is referred to in chapter 11, verse 19, the third heaven, of course, where God is. But chapter 21 is a description of the New Jerusalem, Bob, and that says very definitely there is no temple in the New Jerusalem. So that would be different than the third heaven. By the way, by the time the New Jerusalem comes around, the third heaven will have been burned up because of satanic appearance there. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10 says that Satan has daily opportunity to go to the throne of God and accuse the brethren before God himself. So the first, second, and third heaven are going to all be destroyed, but the New Jerusalem will come after all of that destruction, and there indeed will be no temple in the New Jerusalem. Howbeit, I got to give you this caveat, Bob. There's going to be a temple on the new earth. That's talked about in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 26 and 28, where it says that his temple, his sanctuary, will be among his people forever. And that's also in the context of King David coming to reign with Jesus Christ as co-regent in that temple, in the new earth, forever, as well as also during the millennial kingdom. But it's also talking about the everlasting covenant that the Lord, forever covenant that he's made with them. So there will be a temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem on the new earth, but in the new Jerusalem, no temple, because God and Jesus are there. Very interesting questions, Jim, from Bob Rice. And man, he's an encouragement to me, buddy. I mean, you know, you're a young guy, but so we got to stick together. So praise the Lord for his teaching the word.
And to be exact, he's about 5.1 years ahead of you, since your birthday is in October.
Pinky.
Well, again, Dad, thank you so much for answering these questions. And folks, I'm really encouraged by the amount of questions that have come in, and we're trying to get to them all. Please be patient with us. We appreciate the desire for people to understand where we are in the last days, what the scriptures has to say about the future. And using that, that's what we use to encourage ourselves, others, believers all across this world, as we are quickly approaching and looking and listening for that the rapture of the church to take place. And Dad, as always, I'd love to give you the last word.
You know, we often talk on this broadcast or any program that I do, and Jimmy in his messages and me in my preaching, we always say you've got to be prepared. Know Christ as Lord and Savior. Live pure, but be productive. Now, my boys are not sitting on their blessed assurance. They're going to gear up. They're going to head out to the foreign field. And what is really exciting to me, they're going to be building into their nephews, our three grandsons, Joshua and Tanner and Trent, going out with them to be involved in ministry. You know, folks, it doesn't get any better than that. And I just have to praise the Lord for our two sons and our three grandsons. And would you pray for them as they travel? Pray for Journey's Mercies. Pray for the power they need to serve there in Montenegro and the other locations where they'll have opportunity for ministry. And we just rejoice in the fact that our family is involved in doing the work of the Lord until he does come back, which could be. The rapture could happen at any moment. Boy, in fact, that would be neat if my boys were all over there doing ministry and Jesus shouted to take them up into heaven. What a place to go from, serving the Lord when he calls you up to be with him. How about following that example of our two sons and our three grandsons? I'm sorry for being so proud of them, but I'm praising the Lord for what they're doing. Hey, thanks a lot for joining us for Prophecy Q&A. We love this time together. Jimmy and I cherish these moments together. And Jimmy said he has a whole bag full of questions. We'll try to get to them in the very near future. Thanks a lot. Remember, Jesus is coming. It could be today, so keep looking up until...